Looking for a new sports show?
So my wife and I go to the movies because you have to go opening weekend.
Yeah, I was with my boys, so he got us right up to the front of the line of this new club.
So I'm stuck watching my sister's dog again. He's throwing up all night.
2.5 games back in the standings, I feel like the Mets are one big bat away from competing. Imagine that. A sports show that's about sports. The Joe Fan Show. Are you fan enough?
Welcome to the Joe Fan Show with your host, Clayton Hamilton.
Greetings, sports fans. My name is Clayton Hamilton, and you're listening to the Joe Fan Show coming to you live from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, the greatest city in the world, right here on the home of Vegas sports, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Let's check the headlines. The UNLV men's hockey team defeated Denver 6-2 on Saturday to advance to the ACHA Division II National Championships in Columbus, Ohio, starting on March 15th. Their draw has now been set. They will be in Pool A with William Patterson College, Grand Valley State, and Ohio University. The Los Angeles Kings have acquired right winger Jerome Iginla from Colorado for a conditional fourth-round pick. The Avalanche will pay half of his remaining $5,330,000 salary. He has 8 goals and 10 assists in 61 games this season. And in Royal Shrovetide football action from Ashburn, England, Kurt Goose Smith has goaled the ball at Old Sturston Mill to give the Upwards a 1-0 victory. The Downards came close to equalizing but were unable to score in the closing minutes after advancing the ball all the way to Clifton Bridge. Today we have Matt Reed, Stefan Filial, and Jeff Klein. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Are you fan enough?
So let's get live. Get proud, cause we got a game to play. Game on, let's play ball. There won't be a better time to give it our all. Stand tall, let's get it on. I know you hear that crowd, they're about to get loud. It's game on.
Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center with locations in both Henderson and on the West Side. Dr. John Patrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward a feeling great, always feeling great here in Las Vegas. Clayton Hamilton going out to Oakland, California, and my good buddy Matt Reed.
Clayton, good to be here, bud.
Hey, Matt, happy Shrove Tuesday into Ash Wednesday. All of our friends over in Ashburn, England, playing the ancient game of Shrovetide football today. Big result. Went all the way to the wire.
Yeah, that's what I hear from you. I love it. I can always count on you to fill me in on stuff that not everyone's paying attention to.
That's right. And if you don't know, if you don't know Royal Shrovetide football, there's a documentary called Hell in the Streets that's available on, I think, on Netflix and on Hulu, and you'll see all about this this ancient game. It's kind of like a combination of rugby and soccer that they play only in Ashburn, England, every Shrove Tuesday and Ash Wednesday. It is a fantastic documentary. There are but 3 rules to this game. Can't transport the ball into a motor coach. You can't do it in a sack. And murder, manslaughter, strictly forbidden, Matt.
What kind of game is that?
That forbidden? Is strictly forbidden. And they say that unnecessary violence is frowned upon, but yet it's used to. But Shrovetide football, it's fantastic. Go see that documentary, Hell in the Streets. Speaking of Hell in the Streets, Matt, we've got Stefan Filial with us, who spent a week or more in Los Angeles, and there's nothing more hellacious than that. Welcome back to civilization, Stefan.
Yeah, when you're in a sea of people on the freeway, it's good to be back in Vegas for sure.
Yeah, Stefan out covering the Oscars. Rumor is he stole the envelope.
Very nice. We knew it all along.
I knew. This is the moment that Stefan was there. I was like, aha, I have an idea of what went wrong.
Well, I mean, I did get a chance to see Russell Wilson with his lovely wife Ciara, and Meta World Peace made an appearance.
Yeah, Meta World Peace has time to party. No longer has time for the basketball.
Yeah, he's at practice.
You know who else does not have time for basketball? That'd be Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins.
No time.
Yeah, he's been put in the penalty box by the league for an accumulation of technical fouls. He will not be in the lineup this evening, Matt. But you know what? He did have time, since he didn't have to play, to go out to the parade at Fat Tuesday. Lovely pictures of him with panties on his head.
Yeah, I think the suspension was timed perfectly by Boogie. I think he knew what was going on. He figured, you know, pick up a tee right before Fat Tuesday and go out and do it right, because I'm sure he's a little hungover today.
Yeah, everyone all excited about Boogie and the Brow, Stefan. So far, they have been 0-3 in their three games together, but there is some good news on the horizon. And do you know what that good news is, Stefan?
What is that?
I mean, the good news is that Boogie Cousins' next technical foul will not result in a suspension.
Oh,
well,
I mean,
he's got a free one coming up.
Fat Tuesday is almost over. So, I mean, Fat Tuesday is over, but he has to enjoy his time while he's there. I don't think he's going to be there after this season.
Yeah, he's able to sort of chart his own path at the end of the year, and I think that New Orleans was sort of hoping he would come in, everything would be great, and he would want to stay there. Anthony Davis probably going to try and convince him of such, but they're really missing other pieces on their big 2.5, because I don't know if they can really call them a big three with Jrue Holiday. He has not played well since Boogie has arrived.
Well, he'll be a free agent as well, and it's tough because it's not a league where two bigs can really play on the court at the same time. Even though, I like the pick and roll with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis at the elbow, which would seem impossible to stop. I think they have trouble with their guards, especially after losing Eric Gordon and Nobody Hill now. Even in his first game in Sacramento, he lit the crowd up. And so they've got a lot of searching to do with their guard situation. I think next year they just completely blow the whole thing up. I think they tried to get rid of Tyreek Evans at the time, and they're going to struggle for a while, and it's going to be another rebuild for them. And unfortunately, after Anthony Davis signed that long-term contract.
All right. Jrue Holiday, as you alluded to, 18 points, 8 assists, almost 4 turnovers per game prior to Boogie's arrival, Matt. Now he's down to 10 points a game, 6 assists, and almost double the turnovers.
Yeah, it's early to really look into this. I mean, it's only been a couple games now. You know, when you got two bigs that are as good as they are, you know, they're going to dominate the ball. And it's the other guys trying to figure out their role. And I think that's what we're seeing Jrue Holiday, you know, obviously struggling a little bit, trying to figure out what his role is. But I think they can make it work, and I still think they have a chance to, you know, really make a push for that last playoff spot. I think when it comes down to, you know, both guys are able to, you know, they added the pop factor to their game where they both can step out and hit the three, so they should be able to space the four, you know, a little bit better. But it's early, you know, give it another week or two, see how it really plays out, and then I think this will, you know, in the long run, actually determine what Boogie's going to do. Obviously, he wants to probably test the market and see what's out there. But I think New Orleans is not a bad spot for him.
I mean, right now, the part of the problem is you got Anthony Davis with the ball, you got DeMarcus Cousins with the ball, and they're outside of the perimeter. If they're controlling the ball, then it takes away from the role from your guards. It spreads the floor when you've got really good big men if they're down low and you force a double team or a triple team. It doesn't really help you if they're out on the perimeter and they're that good because your guards are going to get neglected.
Right, and one of the things, we see that a little bit with the Clippers, who sort of have a big and a half with Jordan and Griffin. But the difference with the Clippers is you do have to respect that they can kick the ball out to J.J. Redick for a shot or Jamal Crawford for a shot. And I don't see that in New Orleans, because do you really have to respect Etuan Moore and Solomon Hill? No.
Right, right. They've put themselves in a hole as far as guards go. And just as far as the Clippers, they run half court. Their half court plays are designed for guys like Redick, Jamal Crawford, and so he can get his ISOs. And you don't see that with the Pelicans. But to Matt's point, it is early. I just don't see anything coming out of this.
And, I mean, can you guys remember a team that had two bigs like this who really are, you know, that good?
That not the same skill set, but that demanded the same attention. Yeah, the Lakers when they had Powell and Bynum. I mean, you had to respect both of them.
Right, but that also resulted in
it resulted in open shots and two championships.
Right.
But because they had Kobe to go with Powell and Bynum. We're not going to say Powell and Bynum were the reason they won it. And then also, Bynum wasn't the guy stepping out. Like you said, but Bynum was a down low guy that, you know, if he could catch it and maybe get a double team, he was able to kick it. But Bynum wasn't stepping out to hit a three.
Right, but Powell could, and he could still stretch the floor to the elbow and beyond if he needed to.
And I think once they get comfortable with each other, I think that Cousins and Brown will be able to do the same thing, because we know Cousins can play on the block and we know Davis can play on the block. So I think it's really just getting comfortable with each other is the biggest thing. But I love you, bro. You brought the name Bynum. I remember I loved it when people were saying, you know, Bynum was the next Shaq. Bynum was going to be the best big, this, well, that, the other. What's Bynum doing now?
No, well, that's because, I mean, he got led astray. But, I mean, it's hard to ignore that when you see him get dunked on by Shaq and then him come down, bump him, and do the same move on him off a fake spin and a step-through dunk on Shaq right back at him. I mean, that's hard to look past and not say that, yeah, he's going to be one of the best bigs in the league at that point. But
the problem is he loves Dunkin' Donuts more than he likes Dunkin' Donuts.
Racing cars.
Right. So,
bowling. Maybe he's on the I haven't watched much bowling lately. Maybe he's on the tour because he loved to bowl, too, even with knee injuries and whatnot.
we'll have to keep our eye on the Pelicans, see how that shakes out. Early returns, though, for another trade deadline move was Lou Williams to the Rockets, and he was really the star of Boogie and Brow's debut. They played the Rockets. Lou Williams came out, 26 points. He's looked great, fits perfectly with D'Antoni's system down there in Houston, Matt.
We talk about a guy that can just light up the score, the score sheet, from anywhere on the court. And, we saw him do it in Toronto. We saw him do it in L.A. We've seen him do it everywhere he's been. But, yeah, you added him to this system, and, perfect fit. And what a great trade for Houston, because, they had Eric Gordon kind of filling that role, and Eric Gordon still gives them, put plenty of stuff. But the way Lou Williams, he gets to the free throw line, he can hit threes, he does it all, and he can handle the ball. So, yeah, it's been a perfect fit so far. And, it's going to be fun to watch Houston in the playoffs just to see. Can offense beat defense? Because, they have no defense, but, man, they can score. So we'll see.
D'Antoni inherited some good defensive players, so he got lucky in that. But his comment to Lou Williams when he got there: the only time you shoot the ball is when you touch it. Right? Gotta love that as a player and as a shooter. Mm-hmm. And to have this kind of reminds me of how the Sparks set up their championship run this past year. Mm-hmm. They had two of the best players off the bench. They had an MVP in Candace Parker, as a starter, a star player for them. And now for the Rockets, you've got James Harden, the star player, MVP runner, and then off the bench, you got two of the best guys coming off the bench in the league. And with Lou Williams and James Harden, two of the best guys getting to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. And James Harden doesn't even have to be in the game. I believe that game he had, 13 points?
Yeah, he was basically a non-factor in that game. And one of the things that we've seen with Houston is their ability to score, and they do shoot a lot of threes, Matt. They were shooting 38% from three. That was fifth best in the NBA prior to January 1st. But they've gone in a bit of a tailspin since January 1st, only shooting 33.9%, which is good for only 26th in the NBA. So Lou Williams sort of comes as maybe a nice jolt in the arm at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when you live and die by the three, and not to say that's all that they, you know, they can do, because like Stephon said, they're good at getting the free throw line. But you know, when you rely on three pointers so much, there is going to be a stretch during the season where tired legs, whatever it is, kick in, and you know, guys aren't going to be hitting a lot of threes. So yeah, to bring a guy in with fresh legs who, you know, was coming off the bench of the Lakers, coming off the bench now, and really who can hit shots and can get hot and stay hot for weeks at a time. I mean, it's a perfect fit, and you know, like Stephon said, a shooter loves hearing, you know, nothing more than let it fly. And there's one guy that can let it fly. It's Lou.
In that division, in that conference in the West, you would have to think that Golden State's going to have to go through either San Antonio or Houston. It would be great if it shakes out that they have to go through both. It probably won't. Mm-hmm. They'll probably only have to go through one. But Golden State, they ran into some problems of their own with Kevin Durant going down. The whole plan was to bring in Jose Calderon. Now they're going to waive him and bring in Matt Barnes. Yeah. Can Matt Barnes and Draymond Green exist in the same key?
I think they're going to have to start Andre Iguodala and then bring Matt Barnes off the bench. I'm not a fan of this trade or this pickup. Mm-hmm. Because I don't really know what Matt Barnes brings anymore. Even with the Kings, he was kind of just a piece of himself from the Magic days and the original Warrior days with Baron Davis, those guys. I don't know what he brings anymore. His three-point shot isn't there anymore. And I don't know. I don't see any improvement. This isn't even really a Band-Aid
right
for them.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about them when we come back from the break, because there are some things I think that that Matt Barnes can do that certainly Jose Calderon could not. So we'll dig back into the Warriors on the other side of the break. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Joe Fan, the scoreboard is brought to you by Kazoom Adventures. For outdoor hikes that can win you money, visit radio.gokazoom.com for exclusive picture and video clues. Get outdoors, find flags, play Kazoom, the hottest new game in Vegas, radio.gokazoom.com. In college basketball tonight, a 5 top 25 teams in action beginning at 4 p.m. with Arkansas at number 12, Florida. At 5, Boston College is in South Bend to take on number 19, Notre Dame. At 6, number 8, Louisville heads to Wake Forest. And at 8, Washington is at Pollard Pavilion to face number 3, UCLA. And your UNLV Running Rebels are in action tonight from the Thomas and Mack versus Utah State. That one also tips at 8. In the NBA, things get going at 4 with Carmelo Anthony and the Knicks down in Orlando versus Elfrid Payton and the Magic. At 4:30, three more games get going with Washington at Toronto, Philadelphia at Miami, and Dallas at Atlanta. Up at 5, Denver is at Milwaukee, Detroit is in New Orleans, and King James and the Cavs are in Boston versus Isaiah Thomas and the Celtics in what both hope is an Eastern Conference Finals preview. At 5:30, Indiana's at San Antonio, and at 6, Minnesota is up at Utah. And a pair of games at 7:30 round out the night as James Harden and the Rockets head to Staples to play CP3 and the Clippers. And Quincy Acey and the Nets are in Sacktown to play Buddy Hield and the Kings. And just two games in the NHL this evening. At 4, the Carolina Hurricanes take on the Lightning in Tampa Bay. And at 5, Sidney Crosby and the Penguins face off against Patrick Kane and the Blackhawks. And that is a look at your Joe Fan scoreboard. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas, along with Stephon Filial, Matt Reed out in Oakland, California, discussing the Warriors and Kevin Durant out for 4 weeks at least with his MCL strain, grade 2 sprain, bruise on his tibia. The plan to bring in Jose Calderon has now gone away. It's going to be Matt Barnes. And I think you're right with Iguodala needing to get more time, because we've seen now depleted that benches. But the one thing that Matt Barnes brings, he's good in a fight. And he likes to fight, and Draymond Green likes to fight. And we all know when they play teams like the Clippers, they like to send guys at DeAndre Jordan, at Blake Griffin. And now you can lose one of those guys with a double tech, and you still have another agitator.
Yeah, but one that's not as Matt Barnes is not as good as Draymond Green.
He's,
so
he's as good as he is in a fight, though.
Yeah, and we saw how that worked out in the finals.
Yeah.
I would not want to lose Draymond Green for anything. And as far as their matchups with the Spurs and the Rockets, I think the Rockets and the Warriors, they play similar styles, obviously. I think the Spurs have one up on them, mm-hmm. healthy, against the Warriors, even with Kevin Durant coming back, because I don't think he'll be – I mean, he won't be the same.
Right.
Especially he coming back this year. So I think that that race is going to be very interesting.
Right, and you have to beat the Rockets and you have to beat the Warriors, Matt, in the same way, in that they're high-volume jump shooting teams. You need, and we talked about it all last year during the playoffs, how do you get two bad shooting games out of Steph Curry and two bad shooting games out of Klay Thompson in order to beat them? It's going to be the same when you look at going up against the Rockets. Why is no one talking about the Spurs?
And I think that's the way the Spurs like it, right? Just quietly going about their business, because they're not flashy. You know, people like to talk about flash and stars and all that. And San Antonio has stars with Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard and even Powell down there now, Tony Parker and Ginobili. I mean, you go on and on with those guys, but they're just quietly go about their business. And I think this is you mentioned, you know, no one's talking about the Spurs. People are going to be talking about the Spurs when the Spurs are the ones that are going to be in the Western Conference Finals against, Golden State, and they're the ones that are going to really give Golden State all they can handle, and it's going to be interesting. But you know, you mentioned Matt Barnes with Draymond. I mean, this is the bad boys in the making right here. This is the old Pistons team right here.
Yeah, I mean, you got Zaza down there,
right?
Yeah,
and we know he likes to headbutt people. So
yeah, and he likes to take out knees. He just needs to. You need to do it on the other side.
Yeah. Oh, dang.
Poor guy.
I mean, really, with the Warriors, obviously the Durant injury comes. You know, it comes at a bad time. There's really no good time for it to catch injuries, and we've seen, you know, right after the trade deadline, you know, Kyle Lowry's hurt, and then now Durant's hurt, and you know, we're seeing some of these teams with their stars. I mean, both teams obviously are going to make the playoffs, and they have plenty of ammunition anyway. But it just goes to show that really staying healthy is the key, because you know, 2 years ago when the Cavs and the Warriors faced off, and you know, Love was out and Kyrie was banged up, it just wasn't the same. So, you know, you really have to stay healthy. And I think that's the way that some of these teams, maybe the best way to beat them is injuries.
Well,
because I think that's the only thing slowing Golden State down is injuries.
A team that's getting better with some guys with an injuries coming back are the Cleveland Cavaliers. J.R. Smith rejoining the team, starting to go into some practices. He could be back and joining his new teammates, Deron Williams, and what we've heard today, Andrew Bogut, also going to go to Cleveland. What does this do to that Cleveland squad now that when Tristan Thompson comes out, they have another big guy that fills the lane, and Bogut doesn't have to do a lot anymore. Mm-hmm. They can get by with him being a 12 to 15 minute guy.
Yeah, and he brings defensive rebounding and blocks for sure. We know that, and he's another big body in there when they don't want to necessarily stretch the floor. I think they could even if they start blowing out teams, they could even have Shannon Frye in there and Bogut at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And Shannon Frye will just stretch the floor the whole time. And that's so scary. And this is I think this is partially a shot at the Warriors, because when there was all this chatter about Kevin Durant coming to the Warriors and, oh my gosh, it's going to be like a big three in Golden State, Andrew Bogut was one of the guys that said, we don't need another star.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want him here.
Right.
And so that's another reason why they got rid of him, I believe. And him going to the Cavs, oh, man, that's going to be some bad blood.
You know, I kid about Draymond Green and Matt Barnes in a fight just for fun for me. But Andrew Bogut is a tough guy, Matt, and that's something that Cleveland is missing. Like, you can push them around because Tristan Thompson is not going to get in your face. LeBron James is going to get in the official's face. He's not going to get in the face of another opponent. But
yeah,
Andrew Bogut.
Or his own coach's face.
Exactly,
right?
But Andrew Bogut, he'll clothesline you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that was the toughness that Golden State, you know, had between him and Draymond. They had two tough guys, but I mean, the key is, can Darren Williams and Bogut give them meaningful minutes if they're not healthy? And both guys struggle with health. So, I mean, like you said, the good thing is they don't have to play a lot of minutes.
Right.
They just have to give them, you know, a few minutes here and there. But, I mean, I'm not going to trust either one of those guys down the stretch to be on the floor. I mean, and unfortunately for the Warriors last year, I think that was, you know, all the talk about Draymond's suspension, it was Bogut being out for those last couple games, which was really the key factor there. So, yeah, it's a big pickup for the Cavs. LeBron has nothing to complain about anymore, right? If they don't have enough firepower between what they have now, you know, enough playmakers, forget about it.
Their bench is a starting team on another team. Like, I mean, when you've got Darren Williams and Kyle Korver on the floor at the same time, that's a reunion.
Right.
I mean, in Utah. I mean, come on. These guys know how to play. It's just he didn't have excuse before. He just shouldn't just interviews just say thank you.
And when you look at the teams that are chasing him, and Matt, you alluded to it earlier, we're going to lose Kyle Lowry. That really hurts Toronto, especially with them bringing in PJ Tucker, getting better. How good is that move now that that they need that extra body at the guard position, and Serge Ibaka coming in? And who would have thought that, you know, we'd get Serge Ibaka to play the Bismack Biyombo role? But that's what he's going to be doing. But the two real contenders in the East, Washington and Boston, basically stood pat. We are going to see Brandon Jennings coming in as soon as he clears waivers for Washington. That helps. They didn't do anything to address their problem with needing an extra big man. I'd been hoping that they would go out and get somebody like Taj Gibson, who I thought would have fit in really well in Washington, or even somebody like Kosta Kufis, Stephon, who they could have got from Sacramento for nothing, who would have given them quality minutes off the bench and another big.
You know who's out there that you're totally missing? Larry Sanders.
Yeah.
you look, you laugh, but this guy, I know he hasn't played in a while, but that was by choice. That was not by injury.
Mm-hmm.
Him coming back would bring a defensive presence and shot blocking, which is what they need.
Right.
For nothing.
Right.
And it's been done before. Rasheed Wallace did it. And that's, I mean, he joined the Pistons in the, like, right before the playoffs.
Right.
And I'm just saying, just keep your eyes on it. But to your point, yeah, I'm not really as surprised that the Wizards didn't address that, because they were in a groove. I think they like what they have. But I am surprised that Boston Celtics didn't do something. I thought they would really get Jimmy Butler. I don't know if the Bulls were asking for too much, like their big rotation, because I think they like that with a lot of their bigs being able to stretch the floor. But they have so many guards and forwards that they could have traded to Chicago for Jimmy Butler, and I feel like that would have taken them over the top. I mean, it would have eliminated the Bulls completely, and pretty much the bottom half of that that playoff tree, and they just didn't do it.
Yeah, did Boston miss an opportunity, Matt? Did Washington miss an opportunity?
No, they didn't, because both teams are solid. Both teams are good. They're obviously in the top four of the Eastern Conference. But, you know, unless they were able to go out and get a guy like Jimmy Butler or Paul George for Boston, someone that was really that big difference maker, you know, Boston's loaded with draft picks. They got guys overseas that are ready to go. Boston's in a great situation. And I think both teams realize we're good right now. We're going to be able to compete, but Cleveland is still Cleveland, and the odds are that there's probably at least one more year right now, maybe even two, where Cleveland's, you know, most probably going to go to the championship anyway. So why mortgage it for a guy that doesn't mean as much just to try to compete when they can compete a little bit right now, and they still, you know, they don't jeopardize their future just to chase a title right now, because, you know, both teams are in good situation, and both teams were playing well at the time, so I don't mind them standing pat.
No.
I really like this Washington team. I hope they give someone fits in the playoffs and really really make Cleveland sweat. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, but no. I mean, there's got to be a point, especially with the Celtics. If you've got all those picks and you've got all these players, the guys are second in the Eastern Conference. There has to be a point where you're saying, we're going for it, mm-hmm. and you've got to do that, or else you're going to end up like a Toronto. And, I mean, they're playing well, but I mean that in a sense that you've got your players, and then you're set, and then you got a Kyle Lowry going down.
Right.
Now what?
It's like Toronto had that window, and the window is now it was creeping shut and now may have slammed shut, because what really is Toronto going forward next year and the year after? Would you say, Matt, that Toronto is on the rise? Are they even, or are they on the downslope?
I think they're even. You know, they were good last year. They're good this year. I think they went out and they tried to make moves. Of all the teams, really, that tried to make moves, you know, going out and getting Ibaka and Tucker, you really know that Kyle Lowry's going to go down. I just hope Lowry makes it back in time for the playoffs. If not healthy enough for the first round, definitely healthy enough for the second round. And then we'll see what happens. But I think Toronto went for it, and you know, eventually, you know, things are going to happen. I mean, you know, you can't really control injuries, this, that, and the other, but you can't control how good Cleveland is either, and all the guys that they have. So, but yeah, I don't think it makes sense to, you know, it's the same thing in the West. We don't see teams really going out and trying to mortgage the franchise to get after, you know, Golden State, because they know Golden State's pretty tough right now.
But Matt,
so we'll see.
But Matt, the right now, that's my point is that the Celtics have a chance. They can't just depend on the future. When you've got young guys already on your team that are veterans now, but they're still young, and then you get a guy like Jimmy Butler, I mean, that could, in some sense, counter the whole LeBron James thing. I'm not saying he's as good as LeBron James is, but he's as much as of a presence on the other team, and you've got to use that. Teams that don't go for it never make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends on how, you know, what Chicago is asking. First off, I mean, you're not going to give up.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
They got all these number one, you know, first round draft picks. You're not going to give up all your picks just to go after a guy like Butler, who, you know, obviously, you know, he signed a big contract, so he would be under contract. But you're going to have guys coming up too that you have to take care of. So it's tough. I mean, like you said, eventually you do have to go for it. But when you're building a good young nucleus like Boston has, and you have guys waiting in the wings, and if you start bringing in some of these, you know, draft picks, I mean, they're going to get the Nets first round draft pick, which is going to be a stud.
So what you're saying is, Matt, is that you would be more critical of Boston not making this move next year than this year?
Yeah, exactly. I think next year and the year after is when Boston really has their time to go after it. I think this year, you know, we've seen that they are good, but, you know, even bringing a guy in like Jimmy Butler, I don't know if they're bigs for Boston. You know, Horford's good, but, you know, that power forward spot is a question mark, and I don't think Cleveland's not going to be beat. As much as I'm anti-Cleveland, believe me, they're just not going to be beat this year in the East.
I hear what you're saying, but you got to understand they're a pick. They're not. They're going to be a draft pick. They're not necessarily going to be as effective as you need them to be next year. Like them going for it next year. How? I mean, what trading their draft picks? I mean, because they've got it this year.
Right.
Next year is going to be okay. We've got draft picks. And then the next year is going to be, okay, we've got draft picks.
Right, and you got guys that are first, second year in the league trying to find their way.
They're not going to compete.
And you hope that they can become Jimmy Butler, but you already know what Jimmy Butler is.
Right.
So I kind of get it. I think I'm a little more with Stefan on this one, in that even if this year's not a great opportunity for them to beat Cleveland, this is a great opportunity for them to learn how to beat Cleveland next year and the year after.
Yes.
And so I gotta believe that I'm with you, Stefan, that I sort of wish they had gone for it this year.
Yeah. I Yeah, that's the only way I see it. Because even if you don't get it this year,
correct,
next year you've got that chemistry, you've got your nucleus,
right,
and then you still have draft
picks. And you know what you're trying to build around in the offseason, and you sort of see sort of how this thing plays out. So I'm kind of with you. I kind of wish that that they would have gone for it. All I can say is, though, for the tremendous amount of national guys that are talking right now, they're saying that the Eastern Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be boring and unwatchable, and the only way that the NBA is going to be interesting is if it's Cavs and Warriors. You have no idea what you're talking about, because I think the playoffs are going to be fascinating. The Kevin Durant story, the way it happened, just made things more interesting. Mm-hmm. So I cannot wait. I can't wait for the games tonight and going forward. Thank you, Stephon. Great to have you back. Matt's going to stick around. We're going to be joined by Jeff Klein talking a little spring training baseball on the other side of the break. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920, The Game. The Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, with locations in both Henderson and on the West Side. Dr. John Patrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward feeling great. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas, always feeling great out in Oakland, California. Matt Reed. And Matt, big weekend of speed that we saw this past weekend, not just the Daytona 500, but four-man bobsled. Your update from the World Championships. My guy, Jonas Lochner, set a track record at Koenigsegg, ended up in a dead heat with Francesco Friedrich. They split the gold medal, and in third place, another German, Nico Walter. Germans going sweeping the podium.
Yeah, you called it. That's your boy, sir. Came up huge, and get ready for next year for those Winter Olympics.
Yeah, and they are out at Pyeongchang for the final meet of the season there in March. And then Steve Holcomb and the guys, Justin Olsen, and our good buddy Evan, he's coming back from Korea, going to come in and join the show. So we're looking forward to talking to those guys when they get back from Korea. And this just in, everybody's at the Combine, this time of year, Matt. And John Fox of the Chicago Bears, he just finished up his presser, and he said something about the Bears going forward. He said, "We need to get better."
You know what? John Fox is on to something right now. They do need to get better. I'm glad it only took a whole season to figure out. They need to get better.
Yeah, so if you're a Chicago Bears fan, John Fox has his finger on the problem. They need to get better. We will see if they do. Another team that is looking to get better this year has some decisions to make come spring training time. And I think they're one of the most interesting teams to talk about. And that is the Seattle Mariners. And we're going to go out to Los Angeles, bring in our baseball guy, Jeff Klein. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Clayton and Matt, how you doing?
We are doing excellent. Do you think John Fox is correct? Do the Bears need to get better, Jeff?
Nah, they're perfect.
I love it. That's why I hate press conferences, yeah. Because they give you stuff like that. The Seattle Mariners, they're out in Peoria, Arizona, just starting their spring training, starting to look at a number of pieces. They're one of the more puzzling teams, Jeff, because it seems that every year they like to bring in a number of guys, and then they like to give up on them halfway through the year or just after 1 year and ship them out and bring in a whole nother group of guys. And so I wanted to find out from you that – I always say change doesn't equal progress. Make sure you know the difference between the two. Do the Mariners know the difference between the two?
You know, I think I'd agree with you in the past. So this time under Jerry DePoto, it feels like a different kind of change. It doesn't feel like it feels more deeper, and that's been one of their goals, to really increase the depth of the team. And look at things a little bit differently as far as trying to improve in different parts of the game, not trying to add these one or two pieces at the top of the rotation, but extend the back end of the rotation. Looking at the defense, which is something that a lot of teams don't always do, that I'm a big believer in. Looking at on base, and just looking at having flexibility in the field, and I think that's a little bit newer approach. You look at the Dodgers, some of the changes they've been making, and that's kind of the approach with them. With the Mariners, I just think that it's under DePoto, yes, he's made a lot of moves. The team's made kind of an eye-popping number of moves. I believe they've made around 35 trades or so. Over 90 players have been moved since DePoto's taken over in his short time. And they, I think they're getting rid of the players that just don't work and bringing in a lot of options to see what they have.
Matt, when I look at this American League West, I sometimes feel in some years, you know, the Rangers are good and the Astros are good, and then in other years the A's are good and the Angels are good, but I always feel like the Mariners are the third best team in their own division, and that sort of stays constant.
They are. They're consistent, right?
Right.
Yeah. I remember when the Mariners were good, when it was Edgar Martinez and Ken Griffey Jr. and Randy Johnson. Do you remember a time other than that when the Mariners were actually good?
No.
Yeah, it's been a while, and it seems like they always have, you know, those big names. They have big bats there, but they just never find a way to get it done. I don't know what it is. I don't know how you change it. Like Felix Hernandez has been good for years and years and years, yet, you know, they don't make the playoffs. So they don't do anything to advance. And I don't know how you change it, because like you said, the cycle has been just bringing a big name back, pay all this money, and they get nothing for it.
Yeah, they seem to waste a lot of starts by Felix Hernandez, who by all counts is really top-notch in the American League. They're going into him this season with him as the number one, Hisashi Iwakuma at two. And then they've got a sort of a bizarre mix, Jeff, at the back of that rotation. They've got Drew Smyly, Yovani Gallardo, and then they're looking for a spot in that fifth spot between Chris Heston, Ariel Miranda, and James Paxton.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Drew Smyly. I think he's close to turning the corner. Remember, this is the guy the Rays traded David Price for, and everyone kind of thought, huh, that's weird. You didn't really get a lot back for David Price, but I think Drew Smyly is someone that teams on the inside really like and think he has a really nice skill set, and the stuff he possesses is great. You know, he's 28. He'll be 28 this year, and I do think he's turning the corner. Last year probably could have gone a little bit better for him, but I think moving to a pitcher-friendly park like Seattle could help him. And then Gallardo is just, you know, if you get something out of Gallardo, great. If you can get back to what he was in Milwaukee, you know, Baltimore, he's been pretty bad. But if he can find whatever he found in Milwaukee and put up those numbers, I mean, they traded Seth Smith for him. Seth Smith had no role and no future with the team. So I think it was someone that Baltimore wanted to give up on, and Seattle figured they'd take a chance on. Now, Paxton's great, but he's had a history of injury, and you know, Iwakuma still also has that, you know, always will have that lingering injury history. So I think this goes back to, as I kind of made a comparison to the Dodgers, right, a deep rotation where none of these guys are going to really jump off the page beyond the number one starter, but at the same time you have a lot of depth there where you can make up for that. And that really worked well for the Dodgers last year. I mean, their pitching held up pretty good throughout the whole season.
And, Jeff, it's really weird because you had mentioned Seth Smith, and I thought that was one of the oddest moves that they had made to bring him in, because when they brought him in at the time, they had a surplus of corner outfielders, and then they sort of jettisoned all of them, and they say, well, you know, Seth Smith didn't really have a role here, but now you're looking at a corner outfield of Jerod Dyson, who they bring in from Kansas City, who's really been a fourth outfielder for most of his career, and they're looking at trying to fill right field with Mitch Haniger, Ben Gamel, and Guillermo Heredia. Like, these are guys with 150 at-bats apiece in the big leagues, and Seth Smith all of a sudden looks attractive, and now he's gone.
I think Seth Smith's problem was his defense, right? So I don't think Seattle's looking at beating any teams by smacking tons of home runs. I think they want to do it with pitching. They want to do it with defense. And then they will get some offensive contributions from people like Nelson Cruz and Kyle Seager, Gene Segura. But, you know, you'll have Gene Segura and Jerod Dyson at the top of that lineup. That's some speed you have up there that can create havoc on the bases. And then you have some of these contact hitters behind them who can knock them in, maybe get a lead early in the game, and then hopefully your starting rotation can put enough in there to keep you in the game. The back end of the rotation, as I've mentioned, is not terrible, so you'll have kind of a chance to win every 5 days, or every each of the 5 days. And I do agree, right field is a little bit of a question mark, you know, but I think they want to use spring training to see who can take the reins and really win that job.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was just going to say, is there any doubt that the AL West is going to be the worst division in baseball this year? I mean, between the Angels, the A's, and the Mariners, I mean, it just looks awful.
Yeah, there are a lot of wins to be found if you're Houston and if you're Texas. And they also have other issues at first base. Their big bring-in this year is Danny Valencia, who's had he had trouble sticking it in Oakland, for God's sakes. And they're going to bring him in to play first base along with Dan Vogelbach.
Yeah, that's not the ideal situation at first base, right? Valencia, he just had some issues, I think, personality-wise with the A's. If you remember, he got into that kind of bizarre dust-up in the locker room. It was a physical confrontation, and he was a guy you knew wouldn't be there much longer. I think he can hit. He's shown that he can hit, and maybe in the right environment, a fresh start might do him well. But, yeah, he's not anyone that's going to – the stats are not going to jump off the page for him. And Dan Vogelbach, I think they want to give him an opportunity to see what he can do. He put up some decent numbers in the minor league. He had a very brief stint when he got called up. You know, he was originally in the Chicago Cubs system, and then he was brought in and during a trade for Mike Montgomery. So I think they want to see what they got in Vogelbach. They want to see if that maybe puts a spark under Valencia.
All right, so we'll keep our eye out on the Mariners for the rest of spring training, but look like a solid third, maybe a fourth-place team there in the AL West. When we come back, it's a little Q&A time, and my good buddy T.C. Martin, the doctor, has just entered the studio. He's going to join Jeff, Matt, and I for a little Q&A. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920, The Game. It's time for Q&A. Remember, if you would like to send us a question, just email us to submissions@joefanshow.com or tweet us at Joe Fan Show. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas. We got Jeff Klein in Los Angeles, Matt Reed in Oakland, my good buddy T.C. Martin, the doctor. You can catch him each and every day from 3 to 4 p.m. right here on NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Welcome, T.C.
My man, Clayton Hamilton. What's going on,
brother?
Well, we covered a lot today, and even more to cover right now. Our fans out there, send us some good questions. We're going to start with Rick in Summerlin, who asks, where will Victor Cruz be playing next season? Hashtag a fresh start. We'll start with Matt.
I mean, by all accounts, it looks like the Panthers are really the main team that's interested in him, but really doesn't matter. I think Victor Cruz, you know, he was a phenomenon for a few years there, but after injuries, he went way downhill, and I don't think he's really an impact maker in the NFL anymore.
Jeff? The Panthers seem right now like the safe pick, and he says he really enjoyed the meeting they had. He felt comfortable there right away, and the Panthers seem to really be interested in him. The main thing he said is that he's interested in playing the slot. So I think a team that gives him that opportunity. Why not? Seems like the Panthers are the front runners right now.
Yeah, I'll sweep the board there. Obviously, there's history here, obviously, with Dave Gettleman there, who was in the front office when Cruz was with the Giants, and he's the GM now with the Panthers. Obviously, there's interest. They've had some meetings. So that makes sense. But I'll give you kind of a dark horse. I'll say possibly the Colts.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll say the Colts. I'll just to mix it up a little bit. I see that. Possibly.
I see that too. I think you read my notes because I have Salsa
really?
Goes to Indy and
is.
Maybe my outside dark horse being the Baltimore Ravens, just given another.
Yep, since Steve Smith Sr. is gone.
Is gone.
I don't know. Where's Junior?
I mean, do you guys really think he has anything left, though?
I think he's got enough. I do.
Considering, you know, the role that he would play, I think he could be that slot receiver. He could be that second or third guy. I do. I think he does.
We got another football question from Rodney in Las Vegas, who asks, who's got the most left in the tank, Adrian Peterson or Jamal Charles? Hashtag hobbled and unemployed.
100% Adrian Peterson. I mean, this is a guy that relies on, not only speed, but power, where Jamal Charles, obviously, used his quickness, and after multiple injuries, Charles is a matter less. So AP, and he's a hot commodity, and he will be coming to Oakland, and maybe we'll be a Las Vegas Raider. What do you think about that?
Jeff?
I agree. Adrian Peterson had an unfortunate injury last year, but the year before, we all know he had great numbers. Jamal Charles has been injured too much, too often recently, so Peterson for me.
I'll say C, none of the above. How's that?
Yeah.
I don't want any part of Peterson. I want a part of Charles.
Mm-hmm.
No, downward slide for both of these guys. And again, possibly the Raiders makes a little bit of sense for Peterson, but he's that, that straight runner. Mm-hmm. All these teams now want guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. That's not in his DNA.
But Jamal Charles can catch the ball out of the backfield. And how do we feel about him joining Jay Cutler in San Francisco? Because Jay Cutler likes to dump the ball off.
Geez,
and that would just make Nick Nice really upset.
Neither one of these guys have anything left in the tank.
Move on. All right. Stacy here in Lake Las Vegas asks, which non-Power 5 conference tournament are you most interested in? Hashtag little guys real quick.
Missouri Valley, Wichita State, Illinois State. Can't wait to see them show down again.
I'm saying West Coast. Love to see Gonzaga play.
I like both of those tournaments. I can see an Illinois State, Wichita State final, no doubt. And I'm looking forward to the WCC, as you know here, my man. Gonzaga, St. Mary's, possibly BYU. I'm thinking maybe a rematch with Gonzaga and BYU, but love the WCC tournament.
Nice. I'm going off the grid from you guys. For me,
Horizon League!
No, it's the American Athletic Conference. And we all know that Cincinnati and SMU are both in TC, but when you see Houston and UConn and Central Florida and Memphis, those are all schools that could kind of get hot and upset and steal a bid, and not just stealing a bid from their own conference, but from somebody else.
And let's don't forget that wild game we saw last year with UConn and Cincinnati with a couple half-court shots in the OTs.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be good times. For Stefan, for Jeff and Matt, this has been Clayton Hamilton. You've been listening to the Joe Fan Show. T.C. Martin right here in studio. The Doctor is next.